Saturday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm T.C. Downey, and you're listening to The Ooze. With me on the air is Lehi and Jeanette. How are you two this evening?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. And Jeanette, what about you?
I'm good. I'm really good, actually.
Right on. Well, so here we are. I've been doing a little bit of remodeling, trying to get everything consistent. All I have really left to do in terms of graphics is actually tackle the oozeradio.wordpress.com page. As I mentioned by both of you guys previously to coming on the air, Jason Sherrill did a really kick-ass version of our current logo now. I had shot him over a concept image. I think it was after last Saturday's show, after I'd gotten done talking about what I wanted to do for the logo, I was up for a while and drawing it out, and I had this Enneagram and this little green skull, and it seemed to kind of be cool to me, and Jason Sorrell, well, he grabbed that image and, of course, took it the whole $150 more. Incorporating it as a Jolly Roger, which in my mind is kind of, I don't know if you want to call it ironic or just sort of funny, because on my left forearm I've got the Enneagram tattooed, and on my right forearm I've got the Jolly Roger tattooed, and it was by no way done intentionally that way.
This is the TC arm tattoo show.
It was just kind of crazy that it worked out that way, but that's all cool. At least this way I'm looking down. Now I'll be thinking about the show. So one of the things I really thought was very cool beyond just that basic concept with the Enneagram and the Jolly Roger is that little fucking tower in the homemade font that Jason did, that little radio tower, the transmission tower. I haven't seen one of those in a really, really long time. And when I saw it, I thought it was really kind of retro, kind of cool like that. I also liked the fact that he had built this background with all these little familiar symbols that were, in one way or another, relative to absolutely everything that we talk about. So, I mean, hands up to Jason Sorrell, man. He's kicking ass, as always.
I think what I like about the symbols the most is that they're relevant to people think about today. I mean, you could have loaded a bunch of, a ton of occult symbolism onto that, but people may not necessarily relate to such things.
Right. Well, they all kind of tie together in stuff that's discussed here. That was the thing that was really notable to me about them, was that at one point or another, on a fairly regular basis, ideas that are represented by these symbols are discussed here on this show. So, I mean, he really did an awesome job and completely rounding this whole thing out.
I agree, and I'm really, 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 really glad that the green was kept, because I really like the green. I always have.
Well, the ooze green?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the ooze green, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but my favorite color is green. It always has been, so it's kind of hard to part with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, green is actually the easiest color on the human eye.
Maybe that's why it's my favorite. But anyway, I guess I'm trying to think of any other sort of little formalities that need to be taking place and talking about up in the front here. I guess it's just been a real good, solid week of change. I guess Zach decided to expand the actual moderatorship on Sin and added like 30 new people. I don't even know who all has got a little moderator tag now. I mean, I'm sure he sent me a list somewhere, but I'm just not fully with it yet.
Now, is there
Wicked, Entropic, Betty Doom, Sakura, Sammy Sam, Halloween Nick? Shoot, he put a list up. He did a forum on it, actually.
I didn't catch that. But speaking of the forum, that's actually it wasn't the forum. It was a blog post on Sin that kind of got me thinking about what I wanted to discuss tonight. There, there's always this kind of underhanded, sly comment that's made about Satanic International Network being a primarily Lefeyan Satanist site, and that's said in some kind of a derogatory term. Where the counter to that is the fact that the folks that are there that are somewhat atheistic in their own mindset seem to automatically equate theism with retardation. So I kind of wanted to discuss this whole dynamic. I kind of wanted to get into maybe looking at, you know, what some really solid arguments are for both cases, and then talk about the what I call the third perspective, which maybe is more relevant to one than the other. But I thought we might first start with some of the things that people find wrong with the idea of theism. And Lehi brought up the idea of superstition just before we came onto the show. So I know, Lehi, you said you had a little bit you wanted to talk about on superstition. So.
Oh, I wanted to share something I read about. It wasn't a very scientific study, so I'm not going to claim that it's scientific. But the scientist, he decided to test out some birds. And I can't remember what bird it was. But he would get these boxes, and he'd put the birds in boxes. So the birds would get shit, right? And what he would do is he would do the standard, conditioning. But what would happen was he would start to randomly punish them, right? And after a while, the birds would do things to try to make that stop without knowing that it would actually make it stop. They would... I guess you could say they were praying, although I'm not gonna. That's not a good word to use for it. But they would start doing behaviors to try to make those unknown things stop because they didn't understand why those things were happening. They thought they were happening for certain reasons. They really weren't. They were just random.
We're done.
So I think what it comes to is like the human brain. We like to create shortcuts to things, and we like to know quickly, we like to make up our minds quickly about what's going on around us. And I think that there's a survival aspect to that. I mean, when you're in the wilderness and you don't have technology, sometimes you have to make split second decisions about your own survival. And so even if maybe your conclusions about what's going on are actually wrong, they still might save your life.
Right. It ultimately, it is. It's more notable that you're able to recognize circumstances that may play into a particular pattern or behavior that you're witnessing. I mean, that in itself, that's something that I think makes a pretty heavy distinction between the human species and other animals out in the animal kingdom. I mean, to my knowledge, the most really complex thinker of animals out there outside of, say, I don't know, monkeys or whatever, is a particular spider called the Porcia spider. What's cool about the Porcia spider is that first it hunts other spiders, but it doesn't have a particular style of hunting. I mean, like, throughout the rest of the entire arachnid species, they all tend to either be like wandering or jumping type spiders, or they're burrowers, or they're arboreal. And each one has their own kind of style. Like an arboreal spider will set up a web trap and inside of a leaf. And, the bugs will be flying around, they'll land on the leaf, thinking they're going to, do their business or eat or whatever it is that they're going to do. And they go into this leaf, and once they're in there, then it's thick silk, and that's when the spider takes advantage and, goes ahead and wraps it in and gets its meal. The terrestrial type spiders generally tend to be more of like jumping spiders, where they've got really keen eyesight and can leap huge distances in a super quick time. Then you have the orb weavers would be representative of arboreal too. But then you have a burrowing style spider. One in particular that comes to mind for me is the trapdoor spider, which is something that we have here in Florida. This spider actually digs itself out of a little burrow and then pulls a leaf up over the burrow. And what it has done is placed a thin layer of silk across the ground within its reach from that burrow. And when the vibrations are triggered, it pops out, grabs its meal, and goes back in. But the Portia spider is completely different, because what the Portia spider has done is that it mimics different mating behaviors, different hunting behaviors that other spiders typically recognize in their own species. So this spider will, let's say there's an orb weaver up there or whatever, and it's got a nice orbed web. This spider will go to that orbed web and pluck the strings in a sequence to mimic trapped prey within its web. And the spider rushes out to get it, only to find out that, oh, wait a minute, I'm the meal. So, and the mimicking spider, the Portia spider, is a calculated hunter. And, I mean, there's a huge difference in the size between us and them, but as far as I can tell, they're the most sophisticated thinker outside of what would be normally considered the sophisticated thinkers of the inhabitants of the planet Earth. So
I don't know. I think dolphins are pretty crazy. They have rape caves.
Yeah, but the dolphins and monkeys, they're both already kind of normally considered to be sophisticated thinking animals.
I heard about the spider, though. That's crazy shit.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to fact check me, you can pop on the Wikipedia and type in Portia spider. That's Portia, and you'll be absolutely amazed at what this spider is actually capable of, and it is microscopic in comparison to the other intellects on this planet, but yet it holds its own. So, anyway, that whole ramble about the spider kind of threw me off of what I was talking about. The theism kind of developed from our attempt to make sense of all the crazy shit that's going on in this world around us. I mean, one day it's sunny, it's warm, the food's blooming, there's cattle everywhere, the next day it's fucking ice cold. Raining, blowing, snowing, lightning, whatever the fuck it is. Before we actually were able to figure out things about this, we were attempting to figure out these things. So this is where our anthropomorphic gods go, because the only thing that we could really measure ourselves from were ourselves. I mean, we knew how we thought, what we would think it was, how we would interpret someone of our own species acting in these behaviors, and we began to kind of wrap it around to traits that were of similar feeling to us, that we would recognize in the external world. So, I mean, this is where you get like Zeus and Hades and Poseidon, all these different gods. They're elemental, they're psychological is really kind of fascinating in that. But even with all that being, you know, kind of discovered, even if everything that I just said is absolute fact, if that is the case, there's still this argument that there's not change, that this stuff is still happening. It's still in motion. It's still a force in play. And,
well, I think that part of, and you know, kind of to bounce off what y'all were saying, is that I really think, too, that the part of the manifestation of that idea and those gods you're talking about is also as a result of consciousness. I think that there develops a need for control. And if you truly don't know something or can't explain it, you can't control it. You can't make it do what you want it to. And I think that's where a lot of the appeasement of, you know, whatever gods, whatever time comes from actually is, you know, if I say the right prayer and do the right thing, then I have control of all these things that I don't know how they work or what they do.
Just like the birds in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like the birds in the box.
Exactly.
But my thing here is this. I honestly, reasonably cannot ever 100% dismiss the possibility of there being some kind of being that's greater than man. That might I might consider all-powerful, all-knowing, whatever. I mean, in some ways, I kind of have this idea that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But this is drastically different, I think, than what we're actually talking about when we're talking about theism. You might call this postmodern. It's kind of the whole Eastern meets Satanism thing, you know.
I think we've talked about this a little bit before, where one way you could look at it is, what's the difference between the gods of old, when they were conceived, and what we call the laws of physics?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What we're doing is we're describing what we see going on around us. People are trying to understand the universe, like you were saying before. And so we put these labels on them to be able to try to wrap our minds around what's going on. And maybe, you know, maybe laws of physics are a lot more precise and more mathematically calculated, but I think the basic idea is still there that there's something going on we can see, but we are trying desperately to understand it.
Right on.
Now,
I mean,
my perspective has always been that I can't quite roll out the idea, not so much of something intelligent, so much as some kind of force, maybe, or energy that sort of started everything, that would actually be what people are actually calling God. That could probably actually be discovered, manipulated, used, etc. But for me, and the main reason why, like, if somebody asked me, I would say, you know, probably atheistic, is because quite simply, I can't quite reconcile the idea of somehow worshiping or doing anything with something that's probably about like electricity at the end of the day.
Right. But you see, this is where my problem lies in, because what we actually consider theism, I can't find a rational argument being made ever, and yet there are some really intelligent people that subscribe to some form of theism or the other. I mean, when you look at Jason King, his postmodern, I mean, it's very much borderline theism that he's pushing there. You know, that's the whole kick again with the Eastern meets Satanism thing. And I've just been kind of curious, what good arguments are there for the atheistic side? I mean, what's the best way to dismiss it?
It depends how far you want to take it. I think that I think it's hard to defend the position that one knows there is no God. But I then again, I don't know how many people actually take that position.
Right on.
Well, I've seen the position taken from a stance of that if it hasn't been proven, it does not exist. And like the argument normally goes from the place of like, you know, do unicorns exist just because we haven't technically proven that they don't? You know, and the burden of proof lies on a person who's saying that, who's asserting that something does exist.
Right. I mean, this is, again, the problem that I run into, because I can't think of a convincing argument for atheism either.
Mm.
I mean, to me, it's absolutely undeniable when I look around to realize that absolutely everything's alive. Everything has some kind of something flowing through that shit. And if that's not something intelligent, I mean, how do we define intelligence? Well, actually, well, a better question, how do we measure intelligence?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we measure intelligence?
Well, you know, psychology isn't hard science, so it's kind of hard to say.
I think intelligence is measured by what a person is able to actually do. Intelligence is directly demonstrable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the other thing, too, is the amount of synchronicity that exists, you know, in the world around us. I mean, that's an argument that there's intelligence, you know, behind what you're talking about. You know, is that there's a lot of order to stuff, you know.
Right. I mean, what I'd like to do right now, there's 37 minutes left, and, you know, we usually ask people to call in. If someone has an opinion, an argument that's, I mean, undisputable on one or the other, call in and give it to us. I mean, because I can't find one, and I really try hard. I use every mode of rational logic that I can. I try to build any kind of, emotional cycle through these things, and I just can't ever come to any kind of sound one way or the other. And I think it's kind of presumptuous, or not presumptuous, but, it's presumptuous of people to assume one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even sort of pretentious, because we just don't have the ability, as we are, on the level we are, to understand the entirety of things. It's like, how does a flea describe a cat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we definitely don't see the whole picture, especially if you consider that our senses make up a small fraction of what our instruments have picked up on.
Right, so what we then come back to is that there's not really an argument one way or the other for the existence or non-existence of it that's absolute. Well, one thing I think we can absolutely be certain of is this particular thing, if it does exist, doesn't share any of the emotional, psychological, or mental fixations and impulses that we do. It has a completely different agenda, a completely different system of operating.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be something on that kind of scale.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we killed that.
Looking at the chat, there's a point being brought up that Jason's saying that theism-atheism argument hinges more on our response to what may be than what may be. I think what he's saying, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but I think what you're saying is it doesn't really matter if there is some sort of God or not. What really matters is how it may or may not affect us. Like, what's actually relevant to our lives?
Mm-hmm.
What's practical?
Let's see, that there again, I run into another little crossroad. The problem that I run into there is if I can confirm the existence of a God life form, if I can confirm that, the implication is that evolution can continue and our species could eventually become, you know, of that kind of level. And then you go back to that whole self-deification thing and... You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, well, and also, like, for me at least, the way that I've always kind of, you know, what kind of just, I don't know, brought that whole house of cards down for me. Because I used to be, I was actually, and it's one of the things that makes me different, I've talked about it before, is that I was a theist before. So, you know, it's been a bit of a, you know, kind of looking at it logically rather than from an irrational perspective is what's brought me to where I am today. But one of the things I've never quite grasped or really had a lot of stuff with is sort of what you said before is like, I just can't wrap my head around something that big, really caring about the minutia of life and what's going on with it. And that if something was out there that did want us to do a certain set of things, that I'm not really sure if that's something that I would necessarily want to fall in line with anyways, because it seems to me if you're ordering me to do this list of things to get in your good graces, you're not somebody that I necessarily want to align myself with to begin with.
Right. I mean, see, the whole thing is if there was something that was all-knowing, all-powerful, if there was God, and God really mm-hmm. wanted you to follow a specific set of rules, he would enforce them. I mean, you can look at us, and mm-hmm. you can see we want each other to follow specific rules, and so what's happened is we've developed governments to enforce them. So, you know, that's the whole thing. They're not out there actually enforcing anything, which, you know, it wouldn't be a choice of falling in line with it. If it was God, shit, you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So there again, I mean, that at least points to the apathy of the creature. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So this kind of reminds me of this Facebook status I saw from one of my relatives who's a Mormon. He listed something on his status about how he thought it was wrong if there were people in the church that took a hardline stance about following God and like, well, what about free will and all that shit? It's like, are you kidding me? Have you read your holy books? I thought if you really think about it, your shit is fucking slavery. You may not like that idea, but you're kidding yourself if you think. I mean, you can't say that the scriptures are 100%, you know, the commandments are something you have to follow, and on the other, in another breath, pretend like it's all relative, like it's okay to break stuff every now and again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree, and you see it a lot where there's a reinterpretation of things to where it's basically like, well, I can do whatever I want, and, you know, it's sort of to me, especially if you're, like, falling into that paradigm and following it, you should follow it, and you should probably be pretty fucking extreme about it if that's the stance you're taking. You know, like, I can actually sit and have some begrudging respect for, like, real hardcore fundamentalist Christians more so than I can wishy-washy ones.
At least they have principles, but mm-hmm. I mean, they're not. Are they commandments or are they suggestions? I mean, another example for Mormonism is they back when Joseph Smith was still alive, him and his quorum, they would meet up in his attic, right? And they would drink and smoke and all this shit. And his wife got pissed off about having to clean up their shit, and so God miraculously told him that they had to follow a certain health code. And at first, they called it, it was the word of wisdom. It wasn't really a commandment. Like, well, you should probably do this, but now it's like, well, now you can't drink coffee. You cannot drink mm-hmm. alcohol. And it's also like when religions backtrack on what God said they should or should not do. I think there was a Catholic example about eating meat. You cannot. I think it was something you can't eat meat on Fridays, but now it's okay, I guess, unless you're still hardcore, whatever.
Well, now, like my in-laws are Seventh-day Adventists, and they have a pretty big. I mean, Ellen White passed down a pretty big set of rules to follow, and the one that actually gets to me that they don't follow is the diet, because, like, I sat and, like, you know, I've dealt with it for so long, I didn't know anything about it. actually, like, went and read a whole bunch of shit. Like, I've read all the, like, 7 Day Adventist stuff, so, like, I can hold my own when it gets thrown at me. And she put out this diet that actually is relatively healthy if you followed it to the letter. Like, you would actually be relatively thin and healthy. Like, I actually adopted a few points that she listed. You know, like, one of the things is, like, fruit is a dessert. And they're, like, kind of like mini commandments, like, you have to eat this way. And I have yet to see a single person that calls himself a Seventh-day Adventist that follows that diet.
Right on. Well, you know, I actually, while we were talking about all this, I actually kind of came up with a good argument for theism. I'm not going to say this is a great one. It's just going to be one that's hard to argue. If there is no God, why are humans so fucking ritualistic in everything they do?
Evolution.
But evolution doesn't necessarily discount the possibility for God.
But it doesn't prove God either. It doesn't go one
way
or the other.
No, it does not. It doesn't make an assumption. It's not relative then. I mean, evolution doesn't explain the development of ritualistic behaviors entirely.
Or imagine
I think it potentially it could if we could actually go back and study that, maybe, but it's really hard to say how that came about.
It's exactly
like with the birds in the box, it was kind of ritualistic what they were trying to do to make the punishment stop.
Right on.
Then again, I don't know. Maybe I'm not remembering it correct, but I'm wondering what other animals may or may not exhibit ritualistic behavior. I mean, obviously, different animals have different habits, but I don't know if it goes to the extent that humans are ritualistic in their lives. But we're more than ritualistic with religion. We're ritualistic in just about every behavior we have.
Right, but see, here's the whole thing, okay? Why did humans start doing religious rituals in the first place? We talked about this earlier, and somebody said it was the appeasement. It was to try to shift behaviors that they couldn't control. Well, why do we do anything ritualistically? It's so that we can do things and gain control over them. You know, you practice things so that you become better at doing them.
Right, but at the same time, you have to account for a placebo effect and other kinds of coincidences. I think that a God is responsible is a bit of God of the Gaps argument.
The other point, too, is, you know, the other strange thing with human beings, too, is honestly the level of imagination that exists. I mean, not only does it explain a lot of the reasons of why these phenomena exist, it's the thing that provides the filling of the gaps in things we don't know. But the other thing is kind of, you know, why is it there? And, you know, if you use it, like, you know, we've talked about ritual before, you know, if you exercise that muscle, it's quite a powerful thing. But, you know, I personally don't see a lot of, I don't know, evolutionary use for imagination.
You don't see a lot of evolutionary use for imagination?
I mean, you know, outside of maybe advancing us on a societal level, you know, like creative thought and stuff like that. But, you know, there's certain things like, you know, I don't know, if you take it down to a base level, like music, for example, like I love music. It's one of my favorite things. But at the end of the day, you know, like from a practical standpoint of like, you know, is this something I absolutely need to survive? The answer is no.
I don't know if that's true. I just want to say, okay, I'm not going to necessarily say that you're wrong because I don't know, but
yes.
My kid had a hell of a time sleeping through the night when he was little. And what I actually found was by playing some music for him, he would be soothed to sleep. And worked, man. I mean, for a year, every night, you heard Celtic harp music playing through my house. And he slept like a baby. So, I mean, we invented music for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, sound is definitely important. That's how we exchange ideas. And I think in music, we exchange a larger field of ideas in a shorter time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. It's not quite a fully formed thought, but like there's certain behaviors that I don't know human beings engage in that are kind of irrational, just a little bit. Like they seem to be, at least for me, everything I find that relates to that is actually something that I quite enjoy to do, but I don't find any real reason out of like you know. Stress relief or, you know, an ability to exercise my imagination or, you know, like with music, like I'm a big enjoyer of it. And like, now my kids, I didn't have that. What I had with my youngest son actually was that like, he needed me, like stuff that smelled like me. And like, it was actually funny because like, I never realized how important sense of smell was to somebody until I had like, an insane child that had to be wrapped in blankets that I had laid on for hours.
Right on. Well, I mean, the thing that I'm kind of getting to is these ritual patterns, these behaviors, these things that we've created, things built from our imagination, discoveries made, all of these things have been developed. Every trait, every characteristic, every behavior that organisms exhibit is developed to appease some circumstance that it needs to overcome. So in that same stretch, when you take a look at the ritual sense of theism and you look at it, it doesn't it seem, I mean, even more potentially possible that it's just a larger manifestation of something that we are consistently doing to further develop our line of organisms. I mean, in that, you know, I kind of look back then at just today. We had three kittens born in our house.
Uh-huh.
And this cat has never had any babies before. It was very young. It just got knocked up. And it instinctively knew to start licking and chew off the umbilical cords and stuff. I mean, it was amazing to watch it happen. The cat just knew to do this. And you know, so that kind of thing, what's also interesting about it is that the little kittens instantly knew to go looking for the nipple. First thing it knew was it needed to appease hunger.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, this all kind of wraps around to, again, another ritualistic behavior exhibited. We're all kind of, you know, we are on this quest for nurture. So, you know, is that evidence of an existing relationship that we're unaware of?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible, you know, and like I'm a lot like you in that sense, but I can accept the possibility. But at least when it comes to like, you know, the arguments I encounter, like yours are better than most of the ones that I ever read, you know, when I'm dealing with somebody who's adopted this. And, you know, that comfort, there was a thread this week on a grief on sin, and I was actually thinking about that because, like, I haven't dealt with somebody dying post, you know, going into the specific philosophy, and I don't really know how much of a difference it makes. Like, you know, like, it's kind of weird, like, because at least for me, like, you know, when I've had loved ones die previously, I had that comfort of thinking that there was something else that they were going to. You know.
Right. I mean, and you know, the truth here is I don't have an affirmative one way or the other, so I try not to be presumptuous if the existence of it is there or not. I chalk it up to the fact that you can't describe the box from the outside when you're taped inside of it. And that's about all I can come up with. But it just kind of pisses me off because I can't get any of these people that have hardline beliefs in this to give me an argument that's good enough either way.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually got a call on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and pull this up on the air. Jason?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I just want to, I don't want to stay on the line too long, just real quick. Some of the examples you were giving, you talked about instinct in animals, suggesting that there's a theistic or deity that, and I'm guessing you're saying that it's been programmed into the animals by the deity to respond in that manner. Or when you look at ritual behavior amongst human beings, why did we start worshiping? My answer to that, first of all, is that before you assume, and I know you're not necessarily assuming a theistic explanation, you're suggesting it's a possibility. What I would say is that, and I don't have a solid answer one way or the other, but what I would say is that the simplest answer, the answer that makes the most sense, tends to be correct. So in those two situations, like when you look at behavior as far as ritual behavior, people, just like you're saying, are reaching, grasping for explanations. The volcano goes off, and people are, why did the volcano go off? And somebody gets in their head that, you know what, when I pissed off my dad, when I went to appease my father to have him stop being angry at me, I brought him some fruit, or I brought him some fish, or I brought him something that I knew he liked, and that settled his ass down, that calmed him down. Maybe we need to do the same thing with the volcano. And it becomes a matter of trial and error. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when you connect with something that works, when you throw a virgin into the volcano and the volcano calms down, you connect the two of them when you're trying every little fucking thing you can think of to get the volcano to stop. But when something works, well, that becomes part of your ritual. That's what you do the next time the volcano goes off and the next time the volcano goes off. And if it doesn't work, then you come up with an excuse because you know it worked in the past. So when it doesn't work, you sit there and say, oh, well, there was something else we didn't do to appease it. Or some asshole, you know, down here, there's something wrong with him, so we got to kill him too to appease the gods, whatever the answer there is. And then with animals with instinct, you've got something hanging out of your ass off of an umbilical cord. I mean, I've seen animals get, you know, shit stuck on their paws, and they'll still chew the shit off. That's instinctual behavior. If you get something stuck on your hand, you're wiping it on your shirt and your pants. That's just the behavior that you learn so that you're not sticking to things. That just comes from, you know, times when animals did stick to shit and got killed because of it. So that's just part of DNA. That's instinct. Same with suckling, with nursing. There's an instinctual response. You know, babies suckle in the womb and things like that. So I just wanted to caution as we're seeking deity, as we're seeking theism, to not try to expand on the simple things. There's a much greater evidence, I think, of a deity. Or let's say of something worthy, I wouldn't even say deity, because deity suggests something that needs to be worshipped, of just a higher degree of existence beyond us. And like I said in the chat room, if it's worthy of worship, it neither asks for worship nor requires it.
Yep.
So that was my bit. I'm going to get off the air because you guys only got a few minutes left, and I do my own show Sunday and Tuesday. So I'll catch you guys later, man.
Right on, man. Hey. You know, here's the deal, man. I mean, Jason offers a very, very solid point there, but everything that he said, even though it's all rational and makes perfect sense, it was all prefaced with the, well, I don't know for certain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my whole wraparound to it, is that it's always either prefaced with it or followed by, but I don't know for certain. And, you know, that this is where I kind of draw the line in the sand and, you know, just say that it's bigger than me. And I think that's really my rant and rave about the whole thing tonight. I did want to give a shout-out to somebody I haven't seen here on the Ooze since year one, the first month. The Puck, Neil Jansen, hanging out in the chat room. This dude's insanely smart and very versed in magic. So, you know, if you guys haven't ever checked out any of the old episodes with him in there, I believe it's even listed in the description that he was joining us in the conversation. So just check it out.
I don't think I've heard of him.
That's because he's one of those hidden weapons, man. He's a secret that most people don't know about. He's got no need to flaunt himself in the community. He's got his shit together. He's got his ideas, his assumptions, his way of thinking about things. And I mean, I've had some nice long conversations with him in private, and just wanted to say hey to him. So, all right, 13 minutes left, 347-989-1371. If you've got a solid argument one way or the other, call up here, put it up here on the air. I'd like to be convinced one way or the other. I'm tired of saying, hey, I don't know. And in the meantime, either you guys want a kitten?
What?
A kitten? No, I have kids. I don't have pets.
I don't want to pay a deposit.
They literally sit in the palm of my hand right now, curled up.
It's funny you had a birthday today. I did too. My daughter is 8 today.
8? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice milestone there. 8's when they're old enough to really start beating the shit out of them when they don't do things right.
8 years old when you get the gift of the Holy Ghost.
She's such a good girl, and I'm really lucky with her because she's really good and she's really responsible. But, like, she went this route this year that's got me, completely freaked out because she did not want any toys. She wanted jewelry and hair extensions. Like, she's got a feather in her hair now. I took her to the mall to get that thing. She didn't want them. She said specifically, she said, I think I'm done with playing with toys now. I was like, oh, my God, you know, she's going to be, she's getting older.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, before long, you'll have to be doing regular inspections, just to make sure that she's not being active, or if she is being active, she's being active cautiously. You know, you don't want to make that fatal mistake of doing things too young.
Oh, yeah, that's basically, what I had today was that, she had told us that, and then, she had her birthday, and, she was so upset with her grandmother because her grandmother bought her a Barbie, and she was like, I'm too old to play with Barbies. And, she got in the car, and she's, complaining the entire ride home about how they got her a Barbie, and they didn't listen to her because she wanted earrings, and she wanted jewelry, and she wanted this, and she wanted that. And I was just like, oh, man, you know, I've got a little woman on my hands, officially.
Right. I mean, you should forego all of that and give her a kitten. I mean, I've got, I know that I'm going to end up keeping 2 of them, and there's 3, so there's just one odd man out. So, kitten, it might put off the boys thing for a good 4 or 5 years. It could be helpful. I'm just saying, they're cute. They act like they actually understand what the hell you're saying, and most of the time they ignore you, and you have to pay attention to them. Anyway, so.
it's been a wild week.
What's really strange to me, I got one that's black and white, and one that's white and black, and then the other one is like a gray with orange and white and black all kind of mixed into it. So, I mean, but I don't know what her tastes are, but she could have a kitten.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid my 3-year-old would probably kill it. She's terrible. All
right. Wait a minute. Vanessa, here we go. Vanessa, you need to have a cat in the house, right? I mean, that's definitely it. I'll leave Jeanette alone. We'll give the kitten to Vanessa. That's what we'll do.
All right, that'll work.
Yeah. Because I'm sure Jason would love me for that. Right on. So, French is offering up a place. And Jason's telling me no. Yeah, I mean, see, there you go. No, that's not right, Jason. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not right, Jason, man. She's saying she wishes she could have one. That's your baby girl, man. That's your firstborn daughter.
Yeah, exactly. She deserves a cat.
Yeah. I mean, think, she might quit hanging out with Lehigh so much if you get her a kitten. Sorry, Lehigh.
She's already got a dog, man.
Yeah, dog, cat. I mean, she's too young to make a decision if she's a dog person or a cat person yet. She needs to be around both. I'm in a mood. I mean, hell, I think we did a pretty damn good show on a very beat old topic, so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. So, anyway, I saw that blog post, and I mean, I really thought that guy was somewhat intelligent, and he just got all ass hurt, and I really got to thinking about what the actual original post was all about. His argument kind of came down to not trying to prove his God or affirm the existence of his God, but in saying that it's okay because he doesn't worship it. So,
yeah.
I mean,
that would seem more rational. It's like if I fucking tripped out and saw God or something, it doesn't mean I have to worship him. It's like, hey, bastard, I see what you're doing there.
I
was just shocked at the level of, like, butthurt that happened there, because I agree. Like, I thought the guy was fairly intelligent. He had posted in other places. And I'm always, like, I don't know. I'm always kind of looking for the intelligent theist, you see what I'm saying, to pop up. Like, I love intelligent theists, especially if they can, you know, like, hold their own philosophically and maintain that position. So I was kind of, I was honestly disappointed that he just, like, bled out like he did and changed the whole post and all that stupid shit.
I don't even know what post you're talking about.
It's because it was on there for all of but an hour one morning at, like, 6 a.m. my time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, like, 5 years.
Oh, God, yeah, I wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wicked
got a hold of it, actually, is what happened.
Yeah, Sean did his thing, you know, like maybe 3 or 4 posts, and he was asking good questions. He wasn't being a total douche.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Yeah, that dude's definitely got an extra vagina now, so.
Oh, yeah. No, there's one today going on about how we should love everybody, and then if you don't love everybody, then you don't love yourself.
That sounds very much like, what is it, the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount? I don't remember.
I was just floored. I was like, wait, where does this come from? You know, there was a guy who made the UMass Smartest Person on Sin post, and then he switched to love as a topic, like, partially through. I was just like, oh, man, you know, come on now. You can't love everybody. That's impossible.
Damn it, Zach. It shows up the last 5 minutes and asks me to extend the show. Fucker, I got a tattoo to do at like 6 a.m. in the morning, too. But if he's going to offer a good solid argument for atheism or something and it can't be debunked, it's worth it. So I'll go ahead.
Yep.
I'll add another half hour on to it.
Oh, God, no, Zach.
Yeah, Zach. Woohoo. I was in chat last night messing with him. By the way, yeah, I don't know if anybody, just so everybody knows my own personal misery, I went to bed at 5 a.m. and got up at 7 this morning.
Quite a trooper there.
Yeah.
There you go.
So,
all right, Zach, you got a half hour on the clock, buddy. You better get your ass on the phone.
You also have to tell me if you can make it so that moderators don't have to have the tag but still have the powers.
Oh, no. I like the tag. I like the tag because I like the way people pose towards me about it. I find that very interesting. I want to see how that plays out.
It makes me feel like I'm an assassin again.
I don't know. Now, I actually liked the assassin tag, too. I thought it was, like, you know, I don't know, in a way equally ridiculous because, like, the argument was always like, oh, well, you're an assassin here. I always thought that was funny because it was like, you know, the way it's I don't know, like, I kind of enjoy the tags. I always do for one reason and one reason alone. If me and you are in a philosophical discussion and you bring up my tag, it's like saying, oh, yeah, well, you're ugly.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the you're ugly, man. That's a fucking deal breaker every time.
Mm-hmm.
And the philosophical merit of that argument is uncontestable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, you know, yeah, no, keep the tag. Call me whatever you want. I don't care. You know, if that's the first thing somebody goes to, or my gender, or my screen name, you know, they've already lost. They've already lost whatever battle it is. Or when I had a feminist avatar, I got hit for being a man-hating feminist. I was like, what? Like, that's not even vaguely. You haven't read anything I've ever written, have you?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, if anything, it should be a big neon sign above your head, loves the dick.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, but I've got to say, Lehigh, man, don't give Zach the easy way out, dude. I see you trying to help him backpedal there in chat room.
Wait, what am I backpedaling about?
No, you're not backpedaling. You're opening the door for him to backpedal. I want a good solid argument, one that can't be disputed on theism or atheism.
My bad. I was just joking.
Yeah, we can't talk about kittens and daughters. I mean,
that
although pussy and daughters is not a bad thing, but yeah, Zach's got to call in with some kind of something with philosophical merit to it. I want to see that big shiny chrome dome actually thinking. So, there we go. I love antagonizing the shit out of people. You guys do know that it's the one and only thing that I was put here on this planet for, was to antagonize the fuck out of everybody.
I mean, it's true.
It's so recognizable that when Jason did the caricatures of all of the co-hosts at that point on the ooze, the label mm-hmm. below mine was the antagonist. I mean, I was like, damn, he knows me.
I like that, yeah. Oh, no, you can tell if it's a skill in an art, you know, if it's something developed or something that's just innate, if, you know, somebody manages to do it like you without even meaning to, you know, where you're like, well, how did I upset you?
I didn't even ask anymore. I just say, I offended you? Good. That's usually my answer. So, but, yeah, I mean, I so much so that it's weird. There's this female tattoo artist that works the place that I'm apprenticing. She doesn't want to engage in conversation with me at all for any reason. So when I'm there, it's like long hours of silence. Like, mm-hmm. There's not any kind of bullshitting that happens. She don't want to discuss art. She don't want to discuss tattoo methods. She don't want to talk about the baby that's on the way. She don't want to do any of that. Here's Zach. So,
all right,
Mr. Bush.
What up? What up, ladies and gents? What are we talking about tonight?
Atheism.
Oh, point me in a direction, and I'll throw out a bunch of nonsense for you.
All right. Well, what I said was that I cannot find a convincing argument for either. I cannot find a convincing argument that proves that there is no God, and I cannot find a convincing argument that proves that there is a God. And I ask that people call in and convince me, because I really am tired of being wishy-washy.
Gonna drop that ball, eh? Okay, well.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to God, when you're trying to prove or disprove God, you really need to reevaluate your definition of God, right? What is God? Is it a Christian God? Is it a Muslim God? I mean, it's really wrapped up in a bundle of twisted sticks. Is there any evidence that God is there? No. Is there any evidence that God does not exist? No. It's kind of one of those things where I would say that the stronger case is that God does not exist, but of course, you know, I'm an atheist, and that is just because of all the miserable shit that happens in the world. You know, I think that if there is a God, he's completely indifferent towards us, you know, because of all the suffering and all the misery and all the pain and sorrow and blah, blah, blah. So does it really matter at that point? Because if there is a God, he's definitely indifferent. He doesn't give a fuck about you or me. So at this point, should we give a fuck about him, assuming that he even does exist? Probably not. Fuck it. We're his orphan children. He doesn't give a fuck about us, if he's even there.
There's a little bit of gold right there. Sorry, I got to set up my phone and start to do this fucking echo thing again. There's a little bit of gold right there, man. You know, the whole argument that if God is there, you know, there's all the suffering and injustice happening here in this world. What's to stop you from turning in your ticket, so to speak, anyway? You know, you're saying, well, fuck you. You know, if you're okay with little kids being raped and murdered, I'm not okay with you. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's solid. I'm still not really giving us anything one way or the other, except for, you know, indicating that if there is a God, he's an asshole. But still, that's a solid point to bring up.
Well, you know, and here's another point. I'm going to argue this from the theistic side. Okay, let's say that God is there, and God is all-loving, all-powerful, and all-forgiving. Okay, let's assume that there is a God that's all-loving, all-powerful, and all-forgiving. Well, then why should we adapt to societal restraints and morality? Because if he's all-loving and all-powerful and all-forgiving, and it's God's will, who are we to think that we can change his will? If it's all written in the stars, if it's all written on stone, if he truly loves us, why would he shun us? So, again, who cares? What does it matter?
Yeah. Again, solid point. This week, man, be watching your mailbox. You're probably going to get a box with some holes in it. So I'm just saying.
Ooh, what kind of cryptic message is that? I don't understand what you're saying.
The cat that came with this house, it had three kittens, and I know that I'm going to be stuck having to keep it, two of them. So there's an extra kitten, so I'm going to put it in the mail to you.
Oh, fuck. Don't mail me a cat, dude. Much as I love those evil fuckers, I can barely take care of myself.
I mean, it'll save you from, like, being lonely.
Well, no, because I don't have sex with cats, and loneliness, in my perspective, is lack of being laid, not actually needing a companion, especially of a different species.
Well, I mean, I'm trying here, man, so, yeah, just watch the mailbox.
All right.
Black, white, or gray, though, that might be optional.
I'll take the white or the gray one. I've had black cats before, and they've all been evil bastards.
Okay, all right, I'll keep that in mind. It's not often I get to pedal pussy on the news, so I'm kind of going for it.
So let me ask you this. What is the time slot for Saturday? Is it
Saturdays are 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, yeah. So that's 8 p.m. my time. Okay, cool. See, you almost gave it, you almost bumped it, well, you did bump it like 10 hours up from the time slot, so I'm just curious. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did that because I'm busy now. I'm not just like hanging out anymore. I'm actually doing shit, so.
Right on.
Trying to take over the world.
What's that?
I said you're trying to take over the world.
Yeah, I am. What I'm trying to do, I keep trying to sell dirty tattoos. I mean, everybody can go just about to any tattoo parlor and get a sterile procedure done. But, you know, if you want a little bit of excitement and you're a risk taker, you know, for a couple hundred dollars more, I'll use dirty needles. And, man, I'm really thinking that's going to catch on, so.
You know, man, maybe you should just have, like, infected blood, you know, a couple little vials, one filled with AIDS, one filled with hepatitis, you know, and just fucking, you know, just make it random, just, like, surprise people, you know? Like, hey, it's your lucky day. Guess what? Tomorrow you have AIDS. Yeah.
Whoops. West Nile virus. Damn it. I thought I grabbed the hepatitis one. You see what I'm saying, man? I mean, I'm thinking about that episode of Family Guy. It was Halloween, and they were playing pranks on Quagmire, and they were sticking him with all the different diseases, you know. And he was like, nope, got that one. Yep, already had that one. Yep, got that one. I'm just trying to get ahead of the curve here.
All right. Now, granted, I didn't realize you guys' show was on this late until I checked out the front page of the network. But what's your argument, Beast, about arguing for theism or atheist? Am I wrong to assume that you're somewhat theistic inclined?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you're
I am
absolutely
wrong?
Correct. No, you are absolutely correct that I am theistically inclined. I do ultimately have a soft spot for the idea of this existence of something that's greater than us. And the problem is that I'm just such a rational creature that at the end of the night, you know, I can't really come up with anything that's that's too rock solid. I mean, I gave a nice, 45-minute ramble earlier about all the different little characteristics and things that happen that are all scientifically provable, that all kind of point to this idea that our organism is ultimately built to worship this greater force. But again, Jason came along and he dropped the bomb that, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. You know, the simplest argument is usually the correct one. So.
Well, check this out, man. Now, again, the definition falls back on how do you define God? Like, are we talking God is in a, anthropomorphic being? that's, you know, omnipresent, or are we talking about God is in a force greater than man? Because certainly there are forces greater than man, right? I mean, we have gravity, we have energy, we have all kinds of forces that are greater than us, that are more powerful than us, that dictate how the universe rolls. Are we to assume that that is God, or that is God's handiwork? And again, it falls back to the definition of what really the fuck is God.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's my thing. I mean, anthropomorphic in the sense that they mimic or demonstrate behaviors that are akin to what we do, that they have some kind of, I don't know, thought process that's the same as ours. I think that that's a ridiculous idea. But to discount the possibility that it is actually an entity of some sort, and not necessarily just like, I don't know, the way that we think about electricity as being a force, but,
uh-huh.
but rather that it is something that is consistent and all part of a being of some sort. I mean, that's a hard argument, man. That's a hard argument to beat. You know, you can say gravity is not a being, but we don't really know that for sure. I mean, it certainly doesn't cry, laugh, or smile or any of those things, but on the other hand, it's constant, it's existent, and it is animated, and all of those things suggest that, you know, that there's something going on there, that it is alive.
When I say anthropomorphic, I mean like a consciousness, like one that's self-aware, one that's self-aware, and one that is, you know, has an intelligence, is actually creating things with awareness, and is aware of itself, an entity. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, and I think that's highly unlikely.
But how do you prove consciousness? Here's where that whole thing falls apart, because I know the argument, and it's a good argument. But how do you prove consciousness, that you as an observer cannot make an assumption as to whether there is a experience happening outside of yourself or not? You know, let me break it down to you like this, man. Have you ever looked over at somebody and they had a particular expression on their face and you thought they were mad and you're like, is everything okay? And it come to find out that everything's fine, and they were actually, I don't know, pondering the seven mysteries of the world.
Yeah, man. Every time I have anal sex with a woman, I get that.
Right. So, you know, we mistake expression so often, or we make rash judgments about external expression so often, that it leads me to believe that we could just be not good at being the observer and not being able to recognize what is actually conscious. I mean, let's face it, the Portia spider, which I described earlier, is a creature of high intellect. It shows abilities to strategize. It shows initiative to create and execute actions to achieve its goal, yet, I mean, the thing's the size of my thumb tip. So, you know, in the reverse, you put that up against us, and we're, well, shit, hundreds of thousands of times its size, you know, and we're conscious as well. We're aware of ourselves. But we're also indifferent to that Portia spider unless, for whatever reason, it interferes with whatever our experience is at that moment.
It's not like you can read its thoughts or anybody's.
What's that? Say hi.
Oh, sorry. I was saying it's not like you can read anybody's thoughts. It's, you can't step into somebody's shoes. Like when I was a kid, I noticed in myself that I have this first person viewpoint, right? And I knew that, and I figured out that one of my friends realized that he had it too. but he failed to understand that other people had the same thing going on. And so, in his mind, he was the center of the fucking universe. And so, it made him kind of a douchebag. So,
right.
I think it's you can't, you really can't step into somebody else's shoes. I mean, yeah, we can empathize to a certain extent, but it's really hard to say what's conscious and what's not, because we can't step into these other things. Like the spider, we can't be the spider and ourselves at the same time. We can't step into the shoes of what may or may not be God to determine
right.
whether it's conscious or not.
You know what's crazy about this whole discussion? This whole discussion is at least 3,000 years old, and there's still no solid answer one way or the other, although I see thousands of people on a daily basis making assertions that they have this answer figured out. But again, there's no... Whenever I ask, it's always prefaced with that, you know, I don't know for sure, or it ends with I don't know for sure. You know, that's the whole deal.
Well, you know, and a lot of it comes down to a matter of faith, right? I mean, anybody that speaks in absolutes, you know, absolutes is delusional, a liar, or whatever, because nobody knows for certain. We can't prove or disprove the existence of God. All we can go on is by our environment and how it affects us, and that's, you know, a subjective, that's a very subjective opinion that we project that makes up our own reality and develops our opinions. I mean, who the fuck knows, which is why I always just claim, like I said, I mean, I can argue the theistic or the atheistic side of it, but at the end of the day, we're all just stupid fucking monkeys, man. And we're just passing through this ball of dirt that's orbiting this fucking solar system. And, you know, before you know it, we'll all be dead. And it's not going to make a difference. And either we're going to go somewhere else or we're not. And but you know what? If you're dead, you're not going to care.
Zach, I posed earlier, man. I posed the question... well, not really the question, but I made the suggestion that it is important to know one way or the other if there is a God, because if there is a God, and given what we know about evolution and how it develops, it may very well give us some indication of how to move forward in the development of our own species. So, you know, this is why I'm kind of putting this all back up, because it's not like you can just, you know, wash your hands and say it really doesn't matter. Well, if you truly are trying to be the best that you can be, well, that means that you kind of have to have an idea of what the best is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the biggest, most successful, most whatever is. And I would assume that what we refer to as a God would have to embody those traits.
But I understand what you're saying, but at that point, are we making God in our own image? Are we creating God based on our wishes and wants and our needs, as opposed to Him creating us? I mean, kind of a mere version. Go ahead, Jeanette.
That was one thing I was going to say, is that you bring up a good point in a way, except, like, I don't know, for me it's been a little twisted and inverted, which is that, like, I don't know, I've sort of built my own ideal godlike perception of myself, and then I do my best to sort of do things to put myself in alignment with that image I've sort of built in my mind as much as possible. Like, I don't know, like, all the stuff I did sorting around, I figured out, like, well, I can build my own God then, you know, so it should be as much like me as possible.
Right.
You know, I get a lot of this question on YouTube all the time. As you guys know, I make a lot of anti-religious videos, and I get this question all the time, you know, from people that are intelligent and objective, right, but they still ask this question, which is why I'm mentioning it. Is they say,
mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered if you're wrong? Why would you mm-hmm. take the risk? If you've ever considered that if you're wrong, man, why would you take the risk? Because if you're wrong, even on the off chance that you're wrong, you're going to burn in fire for eternity. And my reply is always, I don't care, and I'm not wrong. So, you know, I'm
okay,
not.
Unless you're Foreman.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, it comes down to a matter of faith and a matter of personal experience. And honestly, man, when it comes to theism and atheists, and this is just my opinion, but it seems like anybody who can think logically that hasn't been brainwashed, that hasn't been beaten down to the fucking very core of themselves and their soul by morality, by their parents, by their schooling, by society, you know, by their environment, comes to the simple conclusion that maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what works for me and makes me happy. And, well, that's kind of the embodiment of the Satanist, in my opinion.
Fair enough. All right, so we pushed this fucking show 20 minutes out, and I'm out of shit, so if you guys got more to add, let's get it in now. Otherwise, I'd say, you know, we've got a few minutes left. I don't mind ending this early. Like I said, I got to be up early to do a tattoo, so.
Yeah, I got shit to do tonight before sleep.
All right, so.
Wait. I got one thing to add. You guys ready? Are you waiting for me?
What?
Shannon, if you had anything else you wanted to offer.
Okay, sorry. There's like a lag between all the... No, I just want to say I'm not sure. I'm not in front of my computer, but I know female Satan's here and Entropic Momentum's here. You know, saying, hey, you know, welcome to the club.
Thank you. I appreciate
you guys,
it.
Thank you. Yeah.
You guys deserve it, man. You guys totally deserve it. And welcome aboard.
I will say that I like the fact that that team has been rounded out and there's more women on board than there was before. I noticed that a lot of the names are women that participate on Sin, so I was kind of happy about that.
Yeah, you know, and it's taken quite a while, female Satan, because... well, as you're aware, I'm sure, when it comes to occultism, especially Satanism, the ratio of women to men is about 1 to 10. So
mm-hmm.
it's taken quite a while to build up a, you know, some women, enough women to try to even it out. Because I really, you know, I mean, we all know it's a man's world, but, you know, I really wanted it to be a balance between the genders, but it just took quite some time for there to be enough women.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've said enough. I'm going back inside. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good
night,
man. All right, with all that done, check out SatanicInternationalNetwork.com, CreativeOddityStudios.com, and the oozradio.wordpress.com, and click all of the links on each of those pages. There we go.
Yes.
That's good. Let's get the hell out of here.